morning. Thank you very much for coming. Today's daf is Daf Zayin in Masechet Chulin. Very, very famous daf. Further amplifying a theme that we've seen a couple of times, that Hashem protects the tzaddikim. Hashem does not allow the tzaddikim to eat non-kosher. So if you see the tzaddikim eating something, so you have to think it's probably kosher, even if it seems questionable to you. But Hashem's going to protect the tzaddikim. How do we know that? Because Hashem protects even the animals of the tzaddikim. So if Hashem protects the animals of the tzaddikim, it's kal v'chomer. Certainly, He protects the tzaddikim themselves. All right, so how do we get to this story? So let's go back to Vav Amud Beis. The Gemara said that what happened was they testified, the brother-in-law of Rabbi Meir testified about Rabbi Meir in front of Rebbe, that Rabbi Meir ate leaves of vegetables from Beit Sha'an without first tithing them. So the Gemara said, based on that, Rebbe said, okay, therefore Beit Sha'an is clearly a place that doesn't have the holiness of the land of Israel, and you can eat vegetables without tithing. So people said back to him, Rebbe, but you know, for generations we've been tithing from Beit Sha'an. And you know, how could it be that, you know, now you're right that based on what Rabbi Meir is doing, that it doesn't have the holiness of the land of Israel. So he said, go back to the Bible. In the Bible, King Chizkiyahu destroys the snake that Moshe Rabbeinu had built to stop snakes, because people were worshiping it. So why does Chizkiyahu destroy it? Because it had become an idol worship. What about earlier kings? Asa, Yehoshaphat. Ella, what do you have to say? Starting today's daf. Makom inichulo avosav lizgader bo. The earlier generations, Asa and Yehoshaphat, left place for Chizkiyahu to become great in it. They didn't do everything. They left something for somebody else to do. Afani, so too I, even though earlier generations didn't have this novel idea, they would have to tithe when they ate from Beit Sha'an. Makom inichul yavosai lizgader bo. It's really my ancestors leaving me a place in order to become great in it by making a novel idea. So from here we learn the following. Mikan, from here we learn, l'talmud chacham, when you have a Torah scholar who says something new, Shamar Dvar Halacha, he says a new halachic insight. Like here, a new halachic insight. Beit Sha'an doesn't need Trumas and Maestros. Shein Mazichin also. We should not distinguish, you know, we shouldn't say, okay, you have to change your mind. You're wrong, because that's not what everybody's been doing till now. No, let's listen to it. Let's examine. Maybe he's right. Amrila, another version of this is, Ein maznichen oso. We don't, you know, desert it. We don't leave it alone. We look at these ideas and say maybe they're right. I mean, others say Ein maznichen oso. We don't tell him, oh, you're saying something new, novel. Nobody else has been saying this ever before. You must be arrogant. It must be coming from your gaiva. It's not to be accepted. No, we don't say that. We say it is to be accepted. Madav maznichen, the version that says that what we learn from here is that Ein maznichen oso. We don't make the Torah scholar reject what he said. As the verse says, "V'lo yizach hachoshen," the breastplate should not move. We don't make him move off of his words. Ma'adamar ein maznichin, the version that said that we don't make the Torah scholar, we don't reject this Torah scholar, we don't desert this Torah scholar. The verse says, "Ki lo yiznach lo olam Hashem," God will not desert forever. Ma'adamar maznichin, and the version that said we don't tell the Torah scholar, it's just out of arrogance. It's not. How do we know that zchuchi is arrogance? As we went to the Mishnah, when there were a lot of arrogant people, Rabbi Machlokas be Yisrael, there were a lot of fights amongst the Jews. This one thought he's right, that one thought he's right. They ended up in lots of fights.
So the newer generation could change with the early generation?
I wouldn't say to change. Well, they're changing what's being done, but they have a new insight. Just because there's a new insight doesn't mean it's necessarily wrong. You have to examine. You know, maybe it is right. Your Rebbe examined and he thought it was right. Maskifla Yehuda, Rebbe Reb Shimon Ben Pazi. Well, we're talking about Issa Drabanan here. You know, it's an important point to mention. Yehuda, the son of Reb Shimon Ben Pazi, challenged this. How could Rebbe accept this testimony of Reb Meir? Does anyone not think that Beit Sha'an is the land of Israel? Beit Sha'an is the land of Israel. If it's the land of Israel, then you have to separate the tithes before you eat the vegetables. Baksiv, doesn't the verse say? Menashe did not settle and did not conquer Beit Sha'an and her suburbs. He didn't conquer Ta'anach and its suburbs. My answer is, this question, Ishtamit Day, was from Yehuda, the son of Rabbi Shimon Pazi. What's missing from him is how the Rabbi Shimon ben Eliakim is Shimon Belaz ben Pedat. The lesson that Rabbi Shimon ben Eliakim taught in the name of Rabbi Belaz ben Pedat, Sham Yishim Rabbi Belaz ben Shamoah, who taught in the name of Rabbi Belaz, the son of Shamoah. What did they teach? They taught the following. Harbe Krachim Kav Shamoli Mitzrayim. There were many cities that were conquered initially when the Jews first came out of Egypt and entered the land with Yoshua ben Nun. They conquered a lot of land. On all the land they conquered, they made holy with the holiness of Eretz Yisrael. But then all of the holiness of Eretz Yisrael was removed as the Babylonians conquered the land away from the Jews. Then the holiness of the land of Israel was brought back by Ezra when he came back to build a second temple. He did not reconsecrate all the areas that had been conquered initially. He left certain areas unholy. Jews were living there, Jews were planting there, but they did not have the holiness of the land of Israel. Now, why did he do that? Because if a place is holy with the land of Israel, then there's the law of Shemitah. In the seventh year, nobody can plant and everything has to be made ownerless. There are lots of poor people that are very dependent on people planting, because they need to eat peah, they need to eat the corner of the field that's left for them, they need to eat from the leket, the dropped gleanings, they need to eat from the shikha, from the forgotten bundles. So there are a lot of poor people that have lots of requirements. They need people to be farming in the land, they need to be eating from what the land produces. So that's why when Ezra came and he re-established the Jewish settlement in Israel, he did not reconsecrate everything. He left certain areas unholy, so that in those areas, people would keep farming in the seventh year. And when they keep farming in the seventh year, because it doesn't have the holiness of Israel, it doesn't have the status of Shemitah, poor people could go to those places and they could get leket, shikha, and peah. They could get the gleanings and the dropped thing, the forgotten things, and the corners. So that's what we said here. Rav Shimon Eliakim said in the name of Rabbi Elazar ben Pedas, and said in the name of Rabbi Elazar ben Shemua, Harbei Krachim Kiv Shemoli Mitzrayim, many cities that were conquered by the Jews who came out of Egypt, the Lokav Shemoli Bavel. Then when the Jews came back from Bavel, they were not reconsecrated. And the reason why? Kasavar, because Kedusha Rishon, Kedusha L'Shayim, Kedusha L'Asud Lavo, the initial consecration of Yoshua was lost when Nebuchadnezzar conquered it. So the initial consecration was not an eternal consecration. It was only till Nebuchadnezzar came. Then there was a need for a second consecration. V'inichum, so those who came from Bavel did not consecrate it. They left it unconsecrated. So in the seventh year, the poor people would be able to have something to rely on. They would have things being planted, wheat, vegetables, and they would get the corners, they would get the dropped, they would get the forgotten. So that's what's going on here. Rabbi Meir holds, yes, Beit Sha'an originally was Israel. In the times of Menashe, when the tribes were coming in, Beit Sha'an was Israel. But Meir's point is that it was not Israel the second time around. It was not Israel in the times of Ole Bavel, in the times of Ezra. That's why in the times of the Second Temple, in the days of Rabbi Meir, he was eating in Beit Sha'an without taking Meisr from the vegetables. Yeah, question.
If the conquest is what creates the Kedusha, now it's not inherited land, how come today we have to be concerned with all these things, with all these issues of the land, if it's the conquest?
So that's a good question. So as is explained in the Rishonim on this sugya, the initial sanctification was the conquest. Then when Nebuchadnezzar came, you removed that conquest. But the Rambam explains, in the days of Ezra, we didn't conquer the land of Israel because we were under the Persians. We were just given permission by the Persians to come to the land. What re-consecrated the land was what the Rambam calls chazakah, the fact that the Jews settled there. The Jews deliberately settled in certain areas to make it holy. And that's what the Gemara is saying here. There were certain areas that they did not make holy with their settlement. So it's a different type of sanctification. It was a sanctification of settlement. The Rambam says a sanctification of settlement does not lose its identity based on conquest of others. Others could conquer, and it still has the sanctification of settlement. However, it is the view of the Rambam that nowadays, in the land of Israel, all Trumot and Masrot and Shemitah, presumably Shemitah too, he doesn't say it explicitly, but probably Shemitah too, is only rabbinic, because the Rambam says the Torah only gives the land of Israel its full sanctity when all the Jews are there, when Kol Yoshvei Aleha, which means that all the Jews are there, and also the Jews know what tribe they belong to, and they're living in their ancestral plots, so that those Jews who know they're from the tribe of Benjamin are living in the Benjamin area, and those who know they're from the tribe of Judah are living in the Judah area. So since we don't have that nowadays, therefore, nowadays, the land of Israel only has rabbinic sanctity, Trumos, Masros, Shemitah is only rabbinic law today in the land of Israel. So again, Kasavar, he held Kedusha Rishona, Kedusha Shat, Velo Kedusha Lava. The initial sanctification was only for a moment and not forever. So the second time, they had to sanctify it again. So when they sanctified it again, in Yichum, they left places like Beit Sha'an, Kedusha Yismuch Alein B'Shviya, so that the poor people during the seventh year will have something to eat. Amalei Rabbi Yirmiyah Rabbi Zera. Rabbi Yirmiyah said to Rabbi Zera, this whole discussion seems strange to me. Rabbi Meir just ate a leaf. When you go into a field and you eat a single leaf, it's called achilas arai, temporary eating. Temporary eating, you don't need to separate shumas and maizos from it. When we go sometimes on our trips to Eretz Yisrael, we take groups, there's something called leket, where they pick fruit in the field for the poor. So the kids are picking fruit, they want to eat an orange, they want to eat a... they want to eat whatever, some other fruit that they pick, an apple. So they are allowed to do that even without separating chumas and maestros, because it's achilas arai, it's temporary eating. As we learned, it only becomes obligate in chumas and maestros from once they have the miruach, the smoothing out of the pile of the grain, once it's fully finished, you know, with vegetables, once the vegetables are bundled, then they would be obligated in chumas and maestros. He was eating a leaf. So there's no proof that there's no obligation of chumas and maestros in Beit Sha'an, because Beit Sha'an was never consecrated a second time. That's not what's going on. He didn't separate the tithes because he was eating a single leaf. Amalasi said, no, that's not the story. Me'aguda achla, he ate the leaf after it had been bundled in a box. After it had been bundled in a bundle. It's not in the Mishnah. Yerek hanega, those vegetables that are normally bundled. Mishi aged, once they are bundled, they are obligated in tithes and shumas and maestros.
It sounds like
Beit
Sha'an was like city of refuge.
Maybe. So now the Gemara asks, again, why do you have a whole proof from this story that certain places outside of the land of Israel have not been reconsecrated? Maybe Rabbi Meir just made a mistake. Maybe he made a mistake. Maybe Beit Sha'an needs chumas and maestros. Rabbi Meir made a mistake. He ate a vegetable and he didn't separate chumas and maestros. He just did the wrong thing. So then the Gemara says this rule. Hashta now, behemtum shel tzadikim and HaKadosh Baruch Hu mevitzakal al yadan. The animals of the tzadikim, Hashem won't let them make a mistake. Hashem won't allow the animals of the tzadikim to eat non-kosher. Tzadikim atzman lo kol shekein. The tzadikim themselves, is it even a question? Of course Hashem will not allow the tzadikim themselves to make a mistake. So the Gemara says, still, Vedilma, you saw Rabbi Meir eating a vegetable. Out of this, Rabbi changed the halacha. Vedilma, but maybe Yisr Alemi Makom Acher. Maybe there was Maaser that was, that he was using somewhere else. In other words, he ate a vegetable here. And meanwhile, back in his house, he had piles of vegetables, and he was saying, the vegetables in my house are the meiser for this vegetable that I'm eating over here. So Gemara says, no, there is a prohibition, a rabbinic prohibition to separate maaser from something which is not in front of you on behalf of something which you are currently eating. Ideally, meiser should be separated min hamukaf, from things that are right next to each other. So you can say this vegetable, which is next to this vegetable is the maaser for this, but not that the vegetable somewhere else that I don't see is maaser for this. Because who knows, maybe that thing that you don't see is not there anymore. Maybe it was destroyed, maybe somebody ate it. So l'nechshadu chaverim, the pious ones, the sages, the Torah scholars are not suspected. L'tzom shalom ha'mukaf, to give maaser, to give tithes from something which is not right next to them. So Gemara says, even so, Rabbi Meir is eating a vegetable. How do you know it means that he doesn't think that there's a need for maaser in Beit Sha'an? The domanas and bitzad zevach bitzad acher. Maybe he made another part of this very same vegetable the maaser for the part that he's eating. In his mind, the bottom of the vegetable is the maaser, and he's eating the top of the vegetable. Amale. So he said back to him, Chazi man gavra rabba kamaser ale. What he said? Listen. He said, look at the big person who's testifying about it. Rabbi Yeshua ben Zaruz. Rabbi Yeshua ben Zaruz is telling us the story. He came to Rabbi to tell us the story that Rabbi Meir ate vegetables without maaser. You think Rabbi Yeshua ben Zaruz doesn't know what's going on? You think really there was a maaser and Rabbi Yeshua ben Zaruz didn't know about it? If Rabbi Yeshua ben Zaruz tells us that Rabbi Meir ate without a maaser, he's such a great man, you can rely on him that that's what happened. So if that's what happened, now we have a problem. Why didn't Rabbi Meir separate maaser? All the earlier generations used to separate maaser and Beit Sha'an. Must be, Rabbi Meir is teaching us Beit Sha'an is one of those places that were not re-consecrated in the times of Ezra. And Rabbi looked into it, and Rabbi said, okay, we're going to change the halacha. Apparently it's right. We're going to change the halacha. And that's what we are going to do. Okay.
Rabbi, the farmer that, let's say the farm was too far away from the poor people to come take the corners or whatever, okay? Can he sell it to the retailer, the whole thing, and give him 10% discount, and he says,
no.
Listen, 10% of this belongs to the poor people.
No, the corner has to go to the poor, no.
It has to be on the floor.
If he didn't do it on the floor, then when the grain that he picks, he has to separate 1/60th and give it to the poor.
And how about if it's too far for everything, it could go bad?
There are always poor people. The Torah says, Kedol yachtal evyon mikarev haaretz. There are always poor people, you can find them. All right, now, this amazing story. My behemtim shel tzadikim. What's this story that we keep quoting? The animals of the tzadikim, Hashem doesn't allow them to eat non-kosher. Answers the Gemara, was a story with the father-in-law of Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, Rabbi Pinchas ben Yair. Rabbi Pinchas ben Yair have a cause of the pigeon shvuyim. Rabbi Pinchas ben Yair was going to redeem captives, to save lives, Jews who had been taken captive. Paga baby Ginai Naharai, he got to the river Ginai. Amarle, he said to the river Ginai, Ginai, listen, river Ginai, Chalokli meimecha be'evar b'cha, split for me your waters, I need to walk through. Amarle, so the river, namely the angel of the river, said to him, you're going to do the will of your maker to save lives. I also do the will of my maker. The will of my maker is for me to flow. Now what you're doing, maybe is going to be a mitzvah, maybe not. Maybe you're going to be able to save a life, maybe not. Maybe you won't be able to redeem. I'm certainly doing what Hashem wants me to do. The river flowing is the mitzvah Hashem gave me in creation. Amar Pinchas ben Yair said to the river, no. If you don't split willfully, I'm going to decree about you, you're never going to have water again. You're going to dry up. You won't have water. You have to listen to the tzaddikim. The tzaddikim need to walk through. The river needs to split. Chalakle, the river split. Like Kriyas Yamsuf, literally. Now, Pinchas ben Yair wasn't traveling alone. There were people with him. There was a person there carrying wheat to make matzahs for Pesach. Amalei, Sri Pinchas ben Yair said to the river, alright, split up for this guy too. Stay dry. The man carrying wheat for Pesach also has to get through on dry land. He's doing a mitzvah too. Now there was an Arab merchant who had joined them. There was an Arab merchant, an Arab caravan driver, a Bedouin, who had been joining Rabbi Pinchas ben Yair and the Jew carrying all the wheat for Pesach. Amar Leis, Rabbi Pinchas ben Yair said to the river, Chalok Leinami Lahai, stay split for this one too. We don't want to chil Hashem. We don't want the Arabs, the non-Jews, to say, you know, the Jews aren't so hospitable. People join them to walk with them. Then the Jews get special treatment and they don't get the special treatment for those walking with them too. No! The special treatment of the river splitting is for me, is for the Jew going to make matzahs for Pesach, and it's for the Arab who joined us and who's been keeping us company for the last week walking through the wilderness. Rav Yosef said, wow, kama nafesh gavra, mi Moshe v'shitin rabu. Look at this man. He's more powerful than Moshe Rabbeinu and the 600,000 Jews. Dilu asam chad zimna. When it came to the splitting of the Red Sea, it only split once. Hachat lasa zimna. But for Pinchas ben Yair, the sea split, the river splits three times. For him, for the Jew carrying the wheat, and for the Arab merchant. Why is it not such a proof? Maybe here was only that the river split once. And Pinchas ben Yair keeps telling the river, stay split. Ella. So, no, the point is, you're right. Not that he's greater than Moshe. He's Kimoshe v'shitin ribfun. Pinchas ben Yair is as great as Moshe Rabbeinu and the 600,000 Jews. The river splits for him the same way the Yamsuf split for us. So again, Pinchas ben Yair was going in order to redeem captives. Ikla, Pinchas ben Yair arrived. Lahush Biza, to a certain motel, to a place where people stayed. Ramule Sari Lachamri. So the people in that inn, in that hotel, they put barley down in front of his donkey. The Lo Achil. And the donkey wouldn't eat. The donkey wouldn't eat. Chavtinu. So then they sifted the barley to take out the bran. And still Lo Achil, he wouldn't eat. Nakrinu. Then they cleaned the barley with their fingers. They took out the stones. Lo Achil, the donkey wouldn't eat. So Amaluhu Pinchas Ben Yara said to them, Tumalo Masran, maybe you didn't take Maser away from the barley. And my donkey doesn't eat. Tevel, doesn't eat tamai, doesn't eat food that's not kosher. Asrinu, they separated Maser, Vachal, then the donkey ate.
I never heard of Chacham donkey.
Now you did, the donkey of Rav Pinchas Ben Yair. Halavai, we should be like the donkey of Rav Pinchas Ben Yair. Halavai. Amar, Sir Pinchas Ben Yair said to these people, Ani Azu, Holeches Lasa Sutton Kona. This poor donkey is going to fulfill the will of its maker to do the mitzvah Pidyon Shvuyim. And you were feeding it non-kosher, you were feeding it things that didn't have Maaser separated from it. So you see that Hashem protects the donkeys of the tzaddikim, and therefore certainly Hashem protects the tzaddikim themselves. So now the Gemara says, you know, this is a strange story. Do you have to separate Trumas and Maaseros from grain that you buy from a Ama Aretz to feed a donkey? But now we did a Mishnah in Tamai. If a person buys grain from an Ama Aretz, Lizera, in order to plant the grain, or Lebehema, to feed an animal, or Kemach, or flour, Laoros, in order to work skins, or Shemen, he buys oil and air to light a candle, or Shemen, or he buys oil to smear utensils. Pater mei Dmai, it's exempt from Dmai. Somebody says, Hasam, no, but about that Mishnah, Hitmar Allah, we learned about it. And I'm Rabbi Yochanan. Yochanan said, "Lo shana, that's only true. Elo shalakhan mitchila lebehema. If you buy originally the grain initially from the Amar, it's for an animal. Avolak mitchila laadam. But if the grain was initially bought for people, v'nimachalein lebehema, then you decide to change your mind and use it for an animal. Chayiv las, you still have to separate chumas and maestros. For a time, as we ended a brisa, alokeach peres min hashuk laachila. If somebody buys wheat from a market for eating, then he decides to use it for an animal. He can't put it in front of his animal. He can't put it in front of his friend's animal. Unless he first separates the Trumas and Maestros. And that's what happened here in this inn. They had bought the grain from Amaratzim for people. Then when the Pinchas Ben Yair showed up, they decided to feed it to the animal, to the donkey of Pinchas Ben Yair. So it was still obligated in Trumas and Maestros. Okay, let's go back to the story of Rav Pinchas Ben Yair. When Rav Pinchas Ben Yair is traveling to go do Pidyon Shvuyim, to save lives, to redeem the captives, Shama Rebbe, the author of the Mishnayos, the final editor of the Mishnah, Rabbi Yudah Nasi, heard that Rav Pinchas Ben Yair was nearby. Nafak Lapi went out to greet him. Amar Lei, so Rebbe asked him, Ritzoncha Sodesli, do you want to eat by me? Amar Lo, so Pinchas Ben Yair said, hey, yeah, I'd love to. So Tzavu Panav Shel Rebbe. Rebbe's face turned yellow with glee. He was so happy. Because Rav Pinchas Ben Yair normally would never get anything from anybody. Never wanted any gifts. Never would be a guest anywhere. And now, he's willing to be my guest. Willing to eat from me, from Rabbi Yudah Nasi. Amar Lo, Rav Pinchas Ben Yair said to him, Kimeduma Ata Shemudra Anam Yisrael Ani. You think that till now I made some vow that I wouldn't get any benefit from Jews. That's why I don't take any gifts. Yisrael Kedoshim Hain. Jews are holy. I'd love to get from Jews. Problems like this. Yesh Rotzav Eimel. There are those who want to give. They want to feed me, but they don't have enough for themselves. So it's not right to take from somebody who himself can't afford. V'yesh Yeshlo. Then there are those who can't afford, but they don't really want to give to me. They say that they want to give to me, but they don't really want to give to me. So I don't want to take money from someone who doesn't really want to give it. I don't want to take from someone who doesn't want to host. Because then it's the form of theft. So I don't want it. So that's why I'm stuck. The verse says, Al tilcham lechem ra'ayin. Don't eat bread from a guy who has a bad eye. V'al tisav l'mat amosav, and don't desire his delights. Kikmo sha'ar benaf shokenu. It's as if he's opening a gate. Echol u'shtei yom aloch. He's going to tell you eat and drink. But v'libo balimach, his heart's not with you. His heart doesn't want you to eat and drink. But you know what? You, Rebbe, I don't have these problems. Because Rebbe was super rich. And Rebbe, I know you're sincere. You want me to have. V'atzen you, Rotzi, you want to give to me. V'yesh lecha, thank God, you've got plenty of money. I'm not taking away from your family. Say, I'm happy to eat from you. I will eat from you. However, said Rebbe Pichlis Meyar, I can't eat now. Now I have to refuse. Because I'm busy with a mitzvah. I have to go redeem captives. First, I need to do the mitzvah. On my way back, I can eat. When I come back, I'm going to come and come into you and eat from you. All right, Rebbe Pinchas ben Yair on his way back. He also, when he came back, Yisrami got to Rebbe's house. He came into one of the doorways of Rebbe's house. That had white mules. White mules. And the Gemara says that the white mule is a very vicious creature. If it hits somebody, no doctor can heal it. So Pinchas ben Yair said, Amar, Malach HaMaves, Bevesel Shozeh, the angel of death himself is in this guy's house. You know, the same way the angel of death, when it hits somebody, that's it, the guy's done. This guy hosts Rebbe. He has white mules in his house. He's raising white mules. The white mules kill people. I'm going to eat in his house. I'm not going to eat in his house. So Shama Rebbe heard that now Pinchas ben Yair is not coming to eat. Nafaglape, he went out to try to calm him down. Amale, he said to him, Mizabninalu, I'll sell them all. Amale, Sir Pinchas ben Yair said, that's no good. Lift the evil as the mishol. Hashem says, don't create a stumbling block in front of the blind. So that's no good. It's not good to have these white mules. You're going to sell them. So now other people are going to have killers in their house. So Rebbe said, okay, Mefkani Luhu, I'm going to take them and let them loose in some forest and make them hefker. Throw them away from people. Send them out into the wilderness. So Rebbe said, no. Pinchas ben Yair said, no. Mafshe Tezeka. So now even more damage. Because now there's nobody watching them to try to prevent the damage. He said, no, I'll cut off their legs so they won't cause any damage. So Rebbe said, you can't do that. That's causing pain to an animal. So he said, all right, I'll kill them. So you see, killing them is not Tzar Balei Chaim. That's what Nodu Yehuda says in his famous response about Jews going hunting. He says, it's not Tzar Balei Chaim because you're killing the animal. Killing the animal is not Tzar Balei Chaim. Tzar Balei Chaim is torturing the animal. But to kill it is not Tzar Balei Chaim. What's that?
You have to have a good shot to go hunting.
Good shot. A good shot. So, Ketilnalu, I'll go kill them. So he said, no. It's not Tzar Balei Chaim, but Ikabal Tashchis. That's just wasting. You know how to waste things? You can't waste it. So Hava Kamavatish Beituva. So Rebbe was begging him, please come eat with me. So you know what happened? With Rebbe Pinchas ben Yair, miracles happened. Gavatura Beinayu, a mountain grew up between the two of them. To stop Rebbe from giving Rebbe Pinchas ben Yair a hard time, suddenly there was a mountain in between Rebbe and Rebbe Pinchas ben Yair. A mountain grew up. Bacha Rebbe Vama. Rebbe started crying. He said, Ma b'chaye en kach. Look at these tzaddikim. Look at the tzaddikim, Rebbe Pinchas ben Yair. It's a real mechitza, that's right. Rebbe Pinchas ben Yair, look at such a tzaddik. He doesn't want to eat from people. He never eats from anyone. That's his way. That's his service. He's always independent. Everything only for himself, only by himself. And I got him. He agreed to me. And yet Hashem arranges. No, you have your. He has his way. His way is going to be kept. Of all the rooms in my house, he came into the room that saw the white mules. That he had to see that. And now it's not happening. So if it's tzaddik in his lifetime, Hashem does everything for him that he wants. When a tzaddik dies and he doesn't have an evil urge, all the more so Hashem does everything for him. You go to Tzfat nowadays, at the bottom of that cemetery, there's a round grave, the grave of Pinchas ben Yair. There are always people davening there because of this Gemara. Oh, the more so Hashem does everything for the tzaddik when they pass away. So Rabbi Chama bar Chanina said, the tzaddikim are greater after they live than when they were alive. Shenamar, as the verse says about the prophet Elisha, They buried a false prophet next to him. Vayim Kovrim Ish. They were burying this false prophet. Vinei Rose Agdud. Then they saw a battalion of soldiers coming. Vayishlichu Esayish Bekever Elisha. They thought they didn't have time. They threw this man into the grave of Elisha. Vayelach Vayigayish Batmos Elisha. The man went and he touched the bones of Elisha. Vayichi came back to life. Vayakam Aragel. He got up on his feet. So you see, when Elisha was alive, he had to daven, and then people would come back to life. But when he's dead, he doesn't even have to daven. Just touching his remains, and people come back to life. Amalei Rav Papa Abai. Rav Papa said to Abai, maybe that's not such a proof of the greatness of Elisha. Maybe the reason why that person had to come back to life is to fulfill Eliyahu's bracha. Because Eliyahu had been asked that that Elisha should have double his spirit, and Eliyahu had given that bracha. Amalei, Abai said back, if the reason why this dead prophet comes back to life was to fulfill the promise of Eliyahu, so then what are you going to do with the Braisa? The Braisa says that this dead prophet came back to life, Al-Raglav Amar, he stood on his feet, but he didn't go all the way back to his home. So it's not double of Eliyahu. Eliyahu, when he brought people back to life, brought them back to life fully. So one second. So then how did, in fact, Eliyahu's bracha of Elisha having double his power come true? It came true in the following way. Number one, that he brought back to life the child of the Isha Shunamis. And number two, Kedam Reb Yochanan, as Reb Yochanan said, Sheripa Tzaras Naaman. Elisha healed the Tzaras of Naaman. Sheishkula Kemes, because someone who has Tzaras is like someone who's dead. Shenamar, as it says, Moshe Rabbeinu said about Miriam, Al Natin Kemes, she shouldn't be like a dead person. All right, another story. Rabbi Shumalevi said, Lama Nikra Shman Yemim. Why are the mules called Yemim? Shemim Masim would tell us Labrios. It's from the word Ema. People are afraid of them. Rabbi Chanina was a doctor. He said, no one ever asked me about how to heal a wound from a white mule and was able to live, because I was not able to heal it ever. One second. We see people that are hit by white mules and they do live. Amen. The answer is, the wound itself never heals. Yeah, the person lives, but not the wound. But we do see people getting better from those wounds. So the Gemara answers, we're talking about those white mules that the head of their feet are totally white, and those, when they hit, mamish, literally, no one can survive it. It cannot heal. All right, a very important lesson from Chanina. The verse says, Ein od milvado, there's nothing but Hashem. Rabbi Chanina said, afiluk shafim, even magic can't go against the will of Hashem. If it works, it's because Hashem wants it to work. Hayitza, there was this lady. She wanted to take dirt from under the feet of Reb Chanina in order to put some spell on Reb Chanina that he should die. Amalai said to her, Shkuli, go take whatever dirt you want. What you're trying to do is not going to work, because there's nothing but Hashem. Only what Hashem wants. Hashem wants me to live, I'm going to live. I don't care about your magic. I, Reb Yochanan, said, why they're called magic? Shafim, because it stands for the two words, Kash, Shemakish, and Palmalia, Shomala. They can sort of weaken the heavenly hosts. So Gemara says, no. Shiner Reb Chanina, the Nafish Shluse. Reb Chanina was different. He had a lot of merits. If he has a lot of merits, Ein Od Milvado, there's nothing other than Hashem. Only what Hashem wants. The magic cannot harm him, as Reb Chanina said. Person can't lift a finger below unless they denounce in heaven that they should do so. Shneamers, it says, Me Hashem mitzadei gavur konanu, from God are the steps of man. Va'adam ayavin darko.